Psalm 55, verse 17. How we get started is important. Just thinking, sitting there on the pew, I used to work in construction, and we'd spend a pretty good bit of time each morning laying out all our tools and getting things in the right place, because we've learned through the years, those who build and construct, that it's a whole lot better to have things in place. Therefore, later on, when you need those things, you don't have to go back to the truck or back to the shed or find it from someone else. You've got it there. But the only issue with that is it does take time to get ready. But again, you're saving time by spending that time getting ready. I want to try to preach this thought this morning. Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. I just, in curiosity's sake, looked it up. In the Bible, 35 times we find the words early in the morning. Must be important. 17 times in the Old Testament we find the words rose up early. Some of you have already turned off, I can tell. I'll wait till the next message. Maybe it'll be easier. Psalmist said in Psalm 55, verse 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Tell you what, now he said, I won't do it just once. I'm going to do it three times. There are occasions in the Bible where they did it more than three times as far as approaching the presence of God. But he said, I'm going to do it, number one, because he wants me to, but number two, because I need him. He'll hear my voice. Boy, we need help. Look in Psalm 5:3. You don't have to turn, just listen. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. He said, I'm going to get up in the morning and look up, because I realize all day long I'm going to need you. Mark 1:35, it says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out. Who? Paul? Mark? John? John the Baptist? No, Jesus. He went out and departed to a solitary place and there prayed. I want to say every morning to the Lord, I'm thankful for the gift that he's given me, and that it's another day. Brother Chester mentioned it. He didn't realize what I was going to preach, but he said, when I can get up, I say, thank the Lord. Just being out of bed every day, listen, is a gift from God. We dare not take it lightly. Every day you live, it may be the best day you've ever had. Something may happen today that you'll have to say, it's the best thing I've ever experienced. Boy, what a glorious day this is. What a good God I have to let this come to my life. It may be the best day you've ever had, today or tomorrow or the next day. It'd be good to start a good day off good. It'd be a good thing to start a good day off right. But it may be the worst day you've ever lived. You may look back at something that happens today and say, I've never experienced anything this bad in my life. I never had any idea that anything could hurt so bad. Get me so down. It may be the worst day you've ever had. And I'll tell you one thing. If I'm about to face my worst day, I sure better start it with the Lord. If I am going to face my worst experience, I better have some help from God when it comes. It may be my last day. I sure want my last one to be a good one. And if my last day is to be a good one, I need to start it with the Lord. I say this morning, good morning, Lord. I want you to walk with me this morning through some verses. Genesis 28, verse 18. Turn with me, Genesis 28, verse 18. I'll have you turn with me some today so you can look at these verses. 28, verse 18, the Bible says, "And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it." Jacob had slept in this place called Bethel, and he had talked to the Lord through the night, and he woke up early in the morning. He rose up early, and he had experienced that conversation with the Lord through the night. But in verse 16, look back a little bit and see what it says. "And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not.'" He woke up and realized, hey, he woke up early and realized God was here, and I didn't even recognize him. There's something interesting in that word "rose." It means to arise. It means to get up. It talks about a fresh start, a beginning, but there's something even more interesting to me. It literally means to load up. It means to load up. They rose, as I'll go through some scripture this morning, and they were rising, there's no doubt, but they were loading up what they needed for the day, like my briefcase that I've got here. It is as though they were loading up what they would need to carry with them through the day. And therefore, whatever they were facing, whatever came their way, whatever the day brought them, they had what they needed to handle it rightly. I say this morning, we need to say every day, "Good morning, Lord. I need to prepare now for whatever's coming my way today. I have no idea what's coming. I have no idea what I'll be confronted with. I have no idea how high I'll be or how low I'll be. But I want you to provide me with what I need for what's ahead." Now, I just will be honest with you. Some of us don't do that. Some of us do not prepare for the day. We rush into the day, and it bounces us all over the place. It beats us down. We're defeated and overcome. And on the other hand, we experience good things and gracious things from God, and we do not enjoy them, or we're not as thankful for them as we ought to be. Could I say this morning, every day we live, we ought to load up with what we need to where whatever comes, we'll be ready for it. I believe that's what Jacob is doing. And that wasn't the last time he did that, by the way. I want you to turn with me now, Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22, if you'll turn hurriedly, I'll get through quicker, maybe. Genesis 22, look in verse 3. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning." He rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Notice what Abraham does. He gets up early in the morning, and he starts loading up with what he needs for the day and the task that he knows is hand. He knows what God has told him to do that day. So he gets up early, listen to me, starts getting ready for what he knows is going to happen. And he loads up his wagon. He gets ready for what's ahead. Now, he doesn't know everything. None of us do. But he does know one thing that God has said. God has told Abraham, "You take your son, your only son Isaac, whom thou love us. And you go into the mount and you sacrifice him for me. You slay him. You put to death that which you love the most. Could I say this morning, he is talking about a day of surrender. He's getting ready for a surrender to the Lord. When he goes to that mountain and he takes that knife and slices Isaac's throat, he is putting to death that which he loves the most. Now, thank the Lord, he didn't have to, but he was willing to. And in his heart, he had already put Isaac to death. And every morning we get up, we need to realize, God, you may ask of me today something I do not want to have to face, but I surrender. I yield. I don't know what's ahead. And even before it happens, before I'm confronted with that that's ahead of my day, I want to be ready now. I surrender myself to you. I yield myself to you. I don't only just give you myself. Hey, I give you my all. Whatever you want to send me is okay. I'm talking about getting ready for the day. Starting early to get off to a right start to where when you're confronted, well, whatever that day brings you, you are not overcome. You are not defeated. You are not devastated. You are not defeated from what God desires of your life for that day. Load up that you need early in the morning to where when it comes, you'll be ready. Abraham surrendered his all. He gave everything. He gave that which he loved the most, which means he had given everything else. Now, Lord, I don't know what your will is, and I don't know what you'll ask of me today, but I know you'll never ask of anything of me that is wrong. And what you've asked of me is right. I may not understand. I may not know why, but I know this. I can trust you. And even if you ask for my Isaac, if I am confronted with that which means the most, I want to be ready. I want to be willing. So I surrender now to where I'll be ready when it does happen, if it does. Every day of our life ought to be yielded to the Lord and surrendered to him. I want you to turn with me again. Turn to Exodus 34. Thank you for turning this morning. I love to hear those pages turn. I'm talking about getting ready, getting up every morning and saying, good morning, Lord. For some of us, it may mean we get up a little earlier. For some of us, we just reconstruct our morning hours or minutes. But I want to tell you one thing. It'll be worth it. That time we spent when we first started the day in construction. To some, it may look like a waste of time. But the end result was we saved time. I'll tell you one thing. In our day, we better be ready for anything. Because the devil wants to wreck us and ruin us and hurt us and harm us. And we better be ready. And the only way we can be ready for what's ahead of our day is to get from God early what he wants us to have and what we'll need. I'm talking about first being ready for a day of surrender. But notice what it says in Exodus 34 verse 4. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went into the Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and he took in his hand the two tables of stone. Now Moses is on the mountain, and he's just about ready to come off the mountain. But he doesn't know that. God hasn't told him to descend yet. All he knows, has been told to ascend and to listen. And now it's time to descend. Look here. And God says, you take the two tables of stone. We know what that is, the Ten Commandments. And he took those Ten Commandments early in the morning. Here's what he did. He took the scripture. He took the word of God, those Ten Commandments, is what does God say? What is His instruction for me? So he, listen, early in the morning, before he ever took a step down the hill, he took the scripture and he loaded it up. He took it with him and he descended down that mountain, and the word of God, the scripture, went with him to tell him and them what God desired. I'm going to tell you what, that Bible you got in your lap is more than just a book. It's God's manual. It's God's instruction book. It's God's rule book. It is what we are to go by. It is what we are to live by. I walked down the hall at the hospital yesterday, and I've seen it many times before, but I was thinking about this message, and I looked over there on the wall, and it says, Nurses' Rules of Ethics. And I thought, those nurses have read those rules and those ethics, and they say, we will abide by what these instructions and guidelines and rules say. This is how I'll carry out my area. This is how I'll do my service. This is how I'm going to do my job, and this is what I promise to do. Here's what's expected of me, written down. And I want to tell you, the Bible in your lap is God's instruction book. It's His code of ethics. And it doesn't matter what I want. Doesn't matter what I think. You know what? There's a whole lot of people who don't really care what the Bible says because they have their own opinion. I talked to some of them. I'll tell them the Bible talks about a real hell. Oh, I don't believe that. The Bible talks about people going to hell. I don't believe a loving God's going to send people to hell. It doesn't matter what we believe. It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what me and grandma's opinion is. What matters is what does God say? And every day of our lives, we need to walk according to the Word of God. We need to let it be our guideline. We need to pick it up every morning, put it in our heart, and walk with it every step of the day, to where no matter what we're confronted with, we're ready with the Word of God, and we do what it says, not what we want to do. There's a whole lot in the Bible I don't really like. And if you're honest, you'll have to say the same thing. I wish God would change some things, but He isn't going to. The Word of God that we believe never changes. I don't care if it is 2019. I don't care if we are in the modern age. I don't care if we are in a social generation and all the electronics and all the gadgets and gimmicks and all that junk. Hey, it doesn't change what God says. And we need to walk with the Word of God. We need to do what it says, because God says what He means when He says what He does. Thank you, Milton Taylor. I appreciate you telling me that. And Moses got up with the Word of God, and he went down and he gave it to the people. You know what? They were already breaking it. They were already worshiping idols. They were already disobeying what God says. Turn to 1 Samuel 17. Thank you for turning. 1 Samuel 17, verse 20. 1 Samuel 17, verse 20. David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper. So I'm going to stop right there. Now, most of us probably know what this is talking about. It's talking about David rising up early and heading down to the battle, where he will be confronted with Goliath. But that's not the first thing he does. You look at the verses preceding that, and David's daddy tells David not to go down and fight the giant, not go down and join the fight, but he says, listen, take some cheese to your brothers. I'm telling you, a meager task. He says, you take this cheese and you take the corn to your brothers and check on them and tell me how they're doing. Well, I want to tell you something. David's a shepherd, and he's humble. But for your daddy, seemingly at this point, to only trust you as a delivery boy, an errand runner, somebody to just check up on the important sons, the valiant sons, it would be very humbling. David doesn't utter one word of hesitancy or resistance. He rose up early after his daddy told him what to do. He got up early, and listen to me, he loaded up what he's going to need for the day, and he's carrying it with him. Can I say this before I even get to my real point? Could I mention my point before my point? He's getting ready for a day of service. I've talked about getting ready for a day of surrender. Abraham did that. And I've talked about a day of Scripture. Moses did that. But I'm talking about now about David is getting ready for a day of service. He is ready to serve any way he can. Even if it means taking the lunch to his brothers who really aren't too thrilled with him, shows up when he gets there, who they think they're doing important things, and he's just a little shepherd boy at home. And undoubtedly, his father at this point is still just saying, well, I believe David could handle this task. I don't think this is too big. I don't think he'll mess it up too bad. I believe he can handle this. I believe he can just take the cheeses and the corn to the brothers, and I believe he can come back and tell me how they're doing. But David doesn't seem overwhelmed with that. He doesn't seem disturbed about that. He doesn't bicker or complain. He doesn't talk about, well, what about me? I'm your son too. What about me? I'm just as important. What about me? Don't you think I'm any good? Is that all I'm worth of? Is that the only thing I'm worthy to do? Some little meager task? He doesn't complain one bit. He loads up his service where he's saying, whatever my father wants me to do, I'm willing to do it. Whatever comes my way, any way I can do that that would please my daddy. Whatever I'm supposed to do. However, hey, listen, my task may seem meager to some, but me getting cheese and corn to my brothers is going to mean a lot to them. It may just make the difference, but hey, all he knows is they're out there, and he knows there's a battle. And he knows the enemy is bad and strong, mad and severe. And all he knows is my daddy told me to do this, and maybe me doing this, it may make the difference in the battle. Me encouraging them, then getting some strength, some help, a touch from home may encourage them to win. He didn't know what his task might could do. And as he's going, before he gets there, he thinks, when I get there, I'm going to give this to my brothers. And it's going to encourage them and help them and strengthen them. And I'm going to find out from them how the battle's going. And I'm going to be able to go back home and tell my daddy, oh, it's okay, Father. It's okay. You don't have to worry about them. Oh, listen, I want to tell you, there's a battle, Daddy, but they're winning. He doesn't know how the battle's going. He's just hoping for the best. All he's doing is what the daddy told him to do. I want to tell you something. Every day of your life, God has something for you to do. There is some area of service, and when you get up in the morning, you don't know what it's going to be. It may be handing that track to that person who really is ready to hear from God, and God's got their heart tender. It may be some drunk on a Monday night when you knock on a door, scared to death, but God's got everything ready. It may be giving some money to somebody. It may be sending a card. It may be, I don't know. And neither do you. But if we're going to be ready for that area of service when it comes, we need to be ready in the morning. I'm talking about giving ourselves to service and say, Lord, however I can please you today, whatever my task is for this 24-hour period, I surrender to it now. And then when it comes, I won't be surprised or shocked or unprepared. Could I just confess? Last several days, I was visiting someone. They opened up their heart about some problems and some issues and some difficulties they were facing. I tried to encourage them and tried to tell them some things that I thought could help them. And I said, I'll pray for you. I prayed for them before I left them. But I thought afterward of something I could have said that I didn't. Now, it may just have been not been the Lord's will for me to say it, but I really believe I wasn't quite ready for that quick opportunity. And I may have missed something important. And maybe if I'd prayed a little longer that morning or been ready a little bit more, if I already had it in my bag, if I'd loaded it up, maybe I'd been ready, more prepared for that area of service that the Lord just thrust me into. You don't know what you're going to be confronted with this day. You don't know what door God's going to open up suddenly. It may be something you planned and prepared for weeks, but boy, when it happens, when you get there, when it does happen, you need God's touch. I'm talking about, good morning, Lord, I need you today. If I'm not going to miss that area of service, I need you now. Prepare me now where I'll be ready then. If I'm going to be ready for that service where you can use me, where I can be the tool you want me to be in your hands. Tell you one thing, when you're framing up a building and you need your level to make sure that wall is plumb, you don't want to say, okay, buddy, hold the wall a minute, I'm going to run to the shed and get the level. You want the level right there where you're ready. Well, yeah, boy, she's plumb. Nail her in there. And that's how it is with our walk with the Lord. We need to be ready because you don't know when it's going to happen. I'm talking about being ready for our service, being ready to serve the Lord. Well, I'm never going to finish, so I've got to figure out what to finish with. Let me get you to turn to Exodus 32. Exodus 32, begin reading in verse 6. I think I'll just close here. And they rose up early. Sure, a whole lot of rising up, getting up. Early in the Bible, they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. Man, that sure sounds like a good start, don't it? Doesn't that sound good so far? I mean, to be honest, it's almost identical with what I've prayed or have preached so far. Rising up early, Abraham and Moses and David, and here's some more people. They're also getting up early, and listen to what they're doing. They rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings. Man, that sure is good. And brought peace offerings. Sure sounds good. But notice the rest of the verse. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. You know who it's talking about? Remember, Moses is up on the mountain getting the law, hearing from God, getting what God had for the people. While he's on the mountain, these people are down at the valley, and they get up early and they offer offerings. But notice they rise up to play. Look back in verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. Listen, get up, make us something for what's ahead. Doesn't that not sound so familiar to what I've been preaching? Here's some people who ask Aaron to get up and make them something for what's ahead. Sure does sound good so far. And Aaron said unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For us, for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. What a bunch of idiots. God's the one that brought them out. And just because things don't go as they expect, when they expect, they turn away from God and worship idols. When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And that's when they rose up and started worshiping a false god. And I thought about this. I've talked about being ready for surrender and service. I've talked about other things about being ready for. But it may be that somebody here needs to realize, I need to be ready for salvation. Here's some people worshiping, offering sacrifices, but they're doing it to a false god. And I thought, there may be somebody here this morning, when you get up, you don't need to just be praying for God to help you to get through the circumstances of your day. You need to be ready for when God confronts you about your need for salvation, you're ready to listen. I know this, I was doing just fine, I thought. I was running quite well. I'm telling you, even though my life was full of craziness, I was happy in my craziness. I was content in my weird, wacky world. I thought that was normal until God started in with me. And I remember the morning I got up, finally, March 2nd, 1975. You've heard it so much. That morning, I did really not know what to expect. I knew God was dealing with me. But I will tell you one thing, about 2 minutes after 12, God confronted me. And I'm glad that my heart was ready. And when I went down that aisle and got at that altar, God, hey, he was ready and I was ready. I want to say to some this morning, there may be somebody here, you've been trying to fix your life and live your life and do the best you can. And you tried all the things I've mentioned, maybe. You've even talked about praying. You maybe talk about reading the Bible and you try to do what the Bible says, but it just ain't working. Have you ever thought about it? Maybe you're not really saved. And the Lord this morning just confronted you. Could I say this? Right out of the blue, here comes God and shows you your need to be saved. Could I say this morning you need to listen to him? Surrender to him. Yield to him. You need to let him save you this morning. You'll never be sorry if you do. And you'll be sorry for eternity if you don't. Well, let's stand together. I'm about halfway done, but I'm going to quit.